Warning, radioactive zone detected. Please enter with... Take a break and enjoy the show.
Welcome back, everyone. It is 10:30, and you know what that means. It is time for our show, Retro Review, presented by me, Henry Lockley.
And me, Jess Daly. We are here to review media and pop culture from our childhood. However, we wanted to do something slightly different today. Isn't that right, Henry?
Yeah, so since we have a new show coming to the network, we thought, why don't we go and review one of their most popular episodes? We thought that would be an interesting thing.
This is interesting, and this is why I think we wanted to do this, is because originally this show only had three members on it, but now they have a fourth.
Yes. So Devin Michael Chorus has only just joined the show as a second host, which is apparently a controversial decision, according to their fan base.
Well, people always get mad about changing dynamics. Well, I mean, we know.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, he was so popular, in you know his own little circles, and it makes sense why he was chosen. Did you know, actually, whilst doing research, I found out that he was a child star in a sitcom, which I don't think a lot of people know.
No way. Which one?
Yeah, so it was called Nat and Kat's Average Life. It only lasted like one... Do you remember it? It lasted like one...
No, I don't. Was it any good?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was, you know, his first show. It was a kickstart thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, no one remembers it. You know, nobody remembers that he was in it. So now it's, you know, this is their first big opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, before we get into like a proper review of that, because I do want to talk about that, we'll ponder on this revelation with a song. This is When I Get There by Maya Isakawa.
Can't believe they're in a sitcom.
It's really so wild. Fun. It's very exciting. No, I'm The station plays the song through its halls, trying to give the cast what little calming joy it can as they stand there and watch their new castmate open the door to the green room. The lights flicker, telling each other, God's not again. From their perspective, all he does is take a step forward, but from his, there's a spotlight that shines above you in this fog-ridden room. The wallpapers on the four walls begin slowly peeling away. The upholstery on the chairs crack and begin to mold. The smell of rotting wood attacks your senses as time seems to speed ahead, roaring this room to its own finish line. The wall cracks and falls away and reveals a door.
Hello? This.
Your hellos echo around. You see a light turn on underneath the door ahead of you.
Oh man. If I turn around behind me.
Nothing there. It's just a rotting brick wall. Its wallpaper is peeling away. There's like water stains.
What is... Oh, come on. I'm gonna go, and as I open the door, I'm paying attention to what I can hear from the other side.
You hear the slight crackles and buzzing of a ambient light, but nothing, no movement or anything.
Okay. And I just open it.
You open and the door almost falls off its hinges with how heavily it swings. It creaks, and ahead of you stretches this long, long hallway. It's completely empty. It has the same peeling wallpaper, these water stains on the ceiling. There are doors going all the way down, to another door at the end, but there is only one door with a light shining underneath it, and it's the closest one to you.
Oh, fuck this. And I'll just beeline it towards that one door.
You open the door. It opens with a creak, and as it does, the smell of the rot leaves immediately. You step through into a open and bare space. This area is clearly used for lots and lots of different things. You can hear the sounds of a crowd behind you. As the door shuts itself, you turn and the door is completely different. Underneath, you can hear people milling around and just the conversation. There is a poster on the wall that says, PodCon! Special guests, our Iflin life. The rest of the cast is stood and sat around in the room, clearly waiting for you to arrive. There is a date on the PodCon poster, and it is set 2 years after this current date that you stepped foot inside of the radio station.
Hey, you made it.
What's happening?
Come on, DMC.
How'd you do that?
We gotta give the presentation. Come on, everybody's been waiting for you, right, everybody?
But
there is someone who walks on stage, a little frantic. It's this like kind of man who's dressed in like nice clothes. He's got a smile on his face, but you can't see the smile. You just know that it's there because his face kind of looks like if a mannequin had a painted face, but it was scrubbed really hard with a wire brush and is all chipped and like shaved away. It doesn't look wooden underneath his face at all. It looks fleshy, but there are these like heavy scratch marks. As he speaks, it sounds like he's trying to talk through water. His voice is muffled. It sounds like he's drowning as he's speaking to you, but you can understand him perfectly. He's like, oh my God. Okay, good. Good, you're here. All right, everyone, the show is about to begin.
As I'm taking in my surroundings, I get nervous. There's a bit of nervousness and uncertainty there. And almost like a switch as it starts to set in, you know, getting handed like a mic, getting like I've been in this situation before, getting prepped for like a panel or something, and the audience noises. I throw on just a very quick one of those emergency smiles, very classic, and try to center myself, look around, I look down at my shirt, if it's presentable, and find my seat next to my co-host.
Having a look around, it's a full house. 250 people are like lining seats that go all the way back. You notice the same, you can like read their expressions, but this same like scrubbing wire brushed expression is on all of them in these different ways. Each one of them looks like an art doll, one that you would pose for drawing. But they all sit in the chair and they move and talk to each other, anxiously waiting, excited for this. The energy is pretty exciting, actually. Okay, so hello everyone. It's so nice to be here. I'm just going to introduce, as you all know, this is the cast and crew of Our Iflin Life. We have River Lake here, the host, as you all know. Woo! Woo! We have Charlie here, the wonderful sound mixer, and as you know them, as several different characters on the show. We have Victoria, the producer, and you would also know them as other characters on it. And then Devin Michael Porras we have, who is the second host.
As my name is called, it's very enthusiastic of a wave and slow retreat of the hand, as it doesn't feel like the same energy has been granted to me as the other three.
So, we're going to do some quick conversations. We have some questions for everyone, and then we're going to go over to some Q&A from the audience. So, River, first of all, you know, truly congratulations for all this. Evelyn is an incredible show. This, like, you know, it inspires so many people. We can really tell as we can see it. So where did you come up with a show that is like partly real, partly fantasy? Like, what was the inspiration for that?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. And thanks for the compliment, Rick. I really appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for the cheers. As you know, they feed my soul. So I love and appreciate it very, very much. We've talked a little bit about this on the internet, and everybody who is part of the Patreon knows as well. We've released content regarding this specifically. It essentially is just a part of what this show was spun from and what it was spun out of. It was nothing that was planned. It was nothing that was premeditated. It truly was just me and my lovely friend, Charlie, and another guest that we had in the studio having fun and sort of trying to do something that we knew was funny, that was very funny to us, but also helped us to sort of like metabolize these weird things that had happened to us on campus this in the past week before the show. And from there, it essentially just, it was a natural course of progression, right? Because we've talked about this a lot, Charlie and I, and Vic as well. It's very important to us that we reflect what's happening in the world, because all of us care so deeply about everything that happens in our communities. And it is such a privilege to be able to reflect those stories and process those stories together with an audience on radio in this format that we all love so much. So that's kind of where it comes from. It comes from this spark of creativity and this deep care for the people around us.
That's beautiful, truly. Actually, you know, speaking of, Charlie, I got one for you. You know, you kind of started, you know, with River, like at the mixing board on more of the technical side, you know, but then you, through the course of the show, kind of became this beloved cast member as well. How was that shift in your role? How did that change how you mixed the show? How did that change how you approached, you know, making this type of thing is from the mixing board to, you know, kind of both mixing and casting?
Well, I mean, we could talk about my mixing and where it started and where it is now, but I don't want to embarrass myself too much. But when I started,
it started,
I mean,
great and it got even greater.
Yeah, that, you got like, Charlie's got so much talent behind the board.
River is omitting so many flubs and dead airspace and bad mixes. And, oh, God, the time that I left my ringtone in because I didn't realize I was Bluetooth connected into the speakers and my mom was calling. And
but
anyway,
the ringtone yeah. bit is still it's still a cornerstone. Everybody loves
yes,
it.
Yes, it's iconic. We sold merch.
I actually see a few people like, that have the ringtone the ringtone t-shirts going.
Yeah,
I I've gotten much better with it. I think that actually what drove me to get better with it was the fact I wasn't supposed to be on the show, right? I was just, you know, trying to come up with silly ideas with my friend and then put her on the air and make her sound good, allegedly. And then it's just, you know, I was in the room. So, and I, you know, honestly, forgive me, but sometimes I just chime in and a character voice would just show up. And
it's actually, great every time. Every time. I'm blown away.
And I think it was that. I think it was getting to actually feel what it was to be a part of the show made me suddenly care a lot more about what it sounded like as a finished product. And so I switched majors. by sociology and hello, sound design. I am, and I just intended to get better at it. So, yeah, that's what made me care.
That's great. Absolutely. No, that's great. I mean, hey, who hasn't changed their major for passion projects in their time, or from passion projects to something possibly
that'll make
more
you money.
Sustainable.
Yeah, but we the thing is, if, if we never found Vic, I mean, this would have been dead at graduation. You know, like all of our relationships. It's
absolutely that's
yeah.
what's so interesting, is it? You know, Vic. You know, because producers are normally like a step away from the production. You know, how does being friends like how is that dynamic, and how did that shift, you know, in your approach to producing the show? Like, do you think it's better to be close? Would you think that you would rather have that kind of, you know, step away? You're such a beloved member. Like, people know, it's rare for people nowadays to know producers, you know what I mean? But people are like, know you because of the show and then your other projects that you've gone on to do. You know, how does being friends with everyone kind of change that approach for you?
Honestly, I mean, so at first we really weren't friends. At first, I was kind of just, I mean, I was chill with River. I was chill with River.
Friends.
We would karaoke together. And I knew Charlie. Like, I knew people. But, like, we weren't, like, tight, right? It was the two of them against the world. They were killing it. And, like, you know, part of being a producer is recognizing a good thing when you see it, right? And I think after kind of knowing them individually and then seeing what kind of magic they were making in the studio, I've loved production and, you know, running shows and things like that pretty much forever. I've been flyering since, you know, I was a wee thing. And I knew that they needed a hand and that I could make something that was already great even more popular than it was starting to be. And, you know, through that relationship building, I think, was how we got our friendship. Like, that's the core and the heart of our friendship. And that's not to say that if we didn't have this show, we wouldn't be friends. Like, that's not it at all. But, you know.
No, but it's like a meeting, kind of, it's like, you know, it was the catalyst.
Right, right.
To the
friendship. They kind of became, you know, they trusted me more, right? Like, it deepened our understanding of one another. And I'm forever grateful, personally. Don't let Charlie, you know, cop out. They are, like, she is so much more useful and more integral to this than she likes to let on. Mm. And, you know, River is this visionary, and really, it's hard not being inspired by them. And I think that's really an important part of friendship, is being forever inspired by the people that you choose to spend your time with.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, truly. Devin, how it... we're running out of time a little bit in this bit, so we're actually just going to go to some like audience questions, and then we'll have like a bit of an FAQ, like back and forth. It's just time you know, some people's answers went a little long.
I mean, give the people what they want, right?
So absolutely, that's it. We actually
this
have,
is for
we
you
have
and some... I point out in the audience.
So we actually have someone with a microphone there. Teenage girl comes up. Hi. This one's for Charlie. You know, you're always you play so many different characters on the show. Do you have like a favorite, like someone who you really, you know, like and connect with, or just like a favorite person, character that you are?
You know, I would say that it's hard for me to pick one favorite. Mr. Johnstein, big favorite, because I think that he's interesting, and I think that weirdly, you know, for a fantasy chimney sweep, I think he's had a remarkable glow up and like an arc, especially considering I think if we were to time it out, he has like 15 minutes. Like total air time across the last, you know, couple of years.
Also, I am just putting it together, but that person in the back with a weird thing that I didn't know what that was, but it's a Johnstein cosplay. That's the chimney sweep.
Good looks.
I thought you had like a huge Q-tip or something.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know what? Teddy is kind of undeniably my favorite. It's mostly because they're simple at this point. Like, I just, like, if I just don't know what to interject, I just know that I can just pull a Teddy and, like, fall out of a vent somewhere or, like, just, you know, trip over, you know, a couple of bowling pins.
Classic.
And, like, emerge. Yeah, it's just fun. It's easy. and so I really like those two for very different reasons.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Passes the microphone back. Older guy's got, he's like slightly bigger. He's got a beard that just has the very slights of grays on him. Hi. First of all, a big, you know, huge fan of like everything. But Vic, I'm just wondering, like, what advice would, like, you, because, like, me and my friends, we kind of want to do something like this. What advice would you give to someone, like, starting out? Starting on this, you know, kind of audio kind of journey here.
You know, don't be afraid to take risks. Don't be afraid to take chances. Really try to channel whatever vision that you have. And don't compromise, you know? If you can keep from, you know, betraying your beliefs and just kind of stay true to who you are and speak truth to power, I really think that that's, you know, that's the essence. That's how you distill what you really, you know, want to put out there in the world. And don't be afraid of fans. And don't be afraid of change either, you know?
Yeah. Like,
as people have kind of come into the space and, you know, we've added, you know, like Charlie, for example, and Charlie comes in as their new character, you know, and she's representing, you know, what she wants to put out there. Like, she's open to what I have to say as the producer, right? I'm open to suggestions that other people have. Like, we all try to kind of work in this space together.
Right, go hand in hand.
If I can, you know, just tack on just a little bit to that, especially, you know, the taking a risk, trying something new thing, it could work out and pay out in dividends, you know? Like, we wouldn't be here if, you know, River, Vic, Charlie didn't take a chance on bringing me on, you know? And so we got cosplayers now, staying true to your product and your vision goes hand in hand with expansion and growth. Just don't be afraid of growth. Don't be afraid of change. Right? Yeah?
Totally. Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Vic, yeah, did you finish saying what you were trying to say?
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think that DMC summed it up pretty well. You know, I don't think I have anything to add. I think that's it. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Thank you. I like younger guy comes up. He's like got a cosplay of one of the characters from the show. He's wearing this like varsity jacket and he's like painted himself all green and has like his hair slicked back. Hi. You know, go Dragons!
Yes!
Because of, you know, being, you know, like River, you've been at like every episode. Like, what do you have, like a fave or something that's like it, like an episode that's important to you, one that you like, you know, like the most, or just one that is like meaningful to you? Is there one that sticks out at all? This is like early, like generation, or like, you know, late, you know,
okay,
after.
Anytime in there.
Anytime.
First
yeah.
of all, kick-ass cosplay. That looks. Did you make that jacket?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
the patches
yeah.
look incredible. That looks so cool.
You should
like take a picture and tag me on Instagram because I want to see more of the patches.
Okay.
Yeah. Please.
Okay, sure.
Great question. And I really appreciate. I appreciate you asking it because it means I get to gush. I feel like this is kind of a cop-out answer, but I just, the last episode that we did this past season was just very, very, very special to me. It meant a lot to be able to bring in so many of the folks who had worked with us over the seasons. And to be able to announce what we were moving forward into and have that moment of celebration live with everybody, it meant a lot to be able to sit in a room with all of my incredible friends and peers and coworkers and just revel in that, while also at the same time being able to tie up so many of the loose ends that had been left, bring stories to completion and sort of finish everything up in the corner of Iflin that we were living in so that we could pack up camp and pick up and move along to the next gleaming shore. So it was very, very, very special to me to be together with all of them one last time before moving on.
Thank you.
Tag me on Instagram.
I will do. They pass the microphone to the next person, and then that person asks a question. They pass it to the next. That person answers a question. And DMC, through this, the most you get is a, what's everyone's, hey, if everyone had a moment, what would that, well, like, favorite moment, what would that be? What does everyone do? It's always everyone questions.
Yeah. Throughout this, the whole time, you slowly start to see the, albeit plastic smile on DMC's face fade, very, very slowly. Like, at some point, he would, you know, try to interject and realize that they're not stopping or giving him space to express himself. And slowly he stops even trying, as the questions keep coming in. One of those everyone questions, he waits patiently for his turn, and he just kind of, what is this? No, seriously. What is this?
What do you mean?
Vic?
What's going on here?
Seven? Are
it's
you
a junket.
Okay?
This is normal. This is business.
It's just a panel, dude.
Don't tell me that this is normal.
What's not normal about it, man?
Almost all of the questions are about everyone else.
I think we're gonna take a break.
No.
Yeah, you
what know. What is wrong with you? What is all of you? And I'm addressing the audience.
Devin.
Dan's doing.
These are our fans, man.
No, these are our fans, man. You don't think I know what this is? That this isn't some sort of, oh, like, look into your future, and if no, not some Ghosts of Christmas future bullshit. Okay?
Devin, I really don't want to do this on stage. Can we step back for a minute?
I've been stepping back this whole time. This whole time. Everyone is going to love me. My show, my career was popular because of me. Your show got popular because of a gimmick. This, all of this is just as much mine as it is yours.
We're gonna call just a small break, you know. People are getting you know, it's hot up here with the lights.
River stands up and she gets like right up in DMC's face, and she does not have a smile on her face.
You guys, can we?
And she says, no, you can't. You can't just walk on stage and get everything that we have worked so hard for. And she's pointing behind her to Vic and Charlie. You don't just get to take what we've made.
We're supposed to be a team, guys.
Then why even ask me on? I'd turn around, flip a chair. If the moderator is wearing a hat, that's knocked off too. I don't care what's in the shadows. I'm getting out from that situation.
Vic is pacing and smoking furiously, like pulling furiously on their vaporizer and just texting in their phone between going, guys, lots of reassurance.
Once we're out of, a lot of us are out of the view of the audience, Charlie just sort of looks at DMC, not really saying anything, but just sort of like, man.
What? What, Charlie?
You got on the show, you know, like you said, we got popular because of a gimmick or whatever. That rising tide lifted your ship up too. And so, whatever. They don't ask enough questions about you. You are still on. And what? You're making money. You got work. Is that not good enough for you somehow? Is that something you could get elsewhere?
I don't think I know what this is. Show hasn't even recorded yet.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, I can contribute.
Yeah.
Dude, are you high or something?
Like, no. You
already showed up late. Is that what you were doing before you came on stage?
No.
Getting fucked? Like, what is going on?
We were in the station. We were in the station. Some weird shit happened. The door kept opening, closing. And then I went to go check out the green room. And now I'm here. That wasn't more than an hour ago.
All right, we're not guys. In the station. We drove here.
For River,
we got
this
chauffeured.
Is
like a
guys,
huge
guys,
opportunity.
We need to defuse the situation, all right? This is getting really fucking heavy. River, it's not appropriate to ask people
no,
if they're
no.
high.
It's
DMC, you're doing your work, and, you know, we're going to get you to a place where you've got your own fans in this show, where they know you for who you are and what you do. I told you, it was all going
to
work out.
That's not what I need, right? I need to know how to get out of here. Because this, none of, and I'm pointing at doors, I'm pointing at in the direction of the stage, none of this is actually happening right now. Move, and I'm going to go towards the stage.
As you begin to storm toward the stage, the air begins to grow stale, and as you pass the first curtain before you reach the stage, there is a door that sits between the stage and you now. The door has these like slight offshoots that have this same watercolored wallpaper around. No one seems to be noticing it, though. If any of the other cast come on, they will either just pass, walk straight onto the stage, or will ignore it.
What the hell? Is like the moderator person? Are there any audience members in the stage? Is like what's happening?
There's a bit of a weird energy on stage. I think they have had people leave the room because until they find out if people are coming back on stage. So the moderator is not there. The audience members are all like shuffling out. There are people like crew are like looking at you because you did blow up in front of everyone, but aside from that, it's people are leaving.
River has gathered Charlie and Vic and is leaning over to Vic, and sort of as you're like doing a turn, looking around what's happening around you, you can hear her very quietly under her breath asking Vic, like, are you seeing anything on social media or what's going on?
I'm doing everything I can. You know, I gotta, people are already talking about
social
it.
Media is a buzz at the minute. There are like your like Reddit account, the like Twitter people are like, there's a video of that is already going around.
No, that's not important. I'm gonna smack the phone out of a hand. I'm assuming that there's a phone out. I'm gonna go to one of the crew and like have them face me, try and get any, what is happening? Who are you? Get me out of here. I don't want to be here.
Dude, you can leave.
I think that might be for the best, man. This is, we're gonna need to have a meeting. Our sponsors are gonna go fucking crazy.
No, fuck the sponsors. You're not understanding me. This is some sort of, I'm hallucinating. This is not real. I am supposed, I'm confronted with, what is it, insecurities? What am I supposed to do? Am I learning something here?
It doesn't seem like it.
Oh, you don't... I'm doing... Looking at River, door. Charlie, door.
What's over there, man?
Fuck this. I don't care what's on the other side of that. I'm gonna... storm my way towards that door, grab the handle, and shove my way through.
And the ambient noise of electrics and people and crowds, it just ends as soon as you open the door and you step foot back inside of that hallway. The door shuts behind you. There is no light on under it. That same sickly, stale air and the rotting wood. There is a light down the hall underneath another door. That lights.
I see it and notice it and no, but no. Where's that first door? I'm going to try my best to figure out where I am and approximate a direction and start.
It's you know where you came from. You can see down. It just ends into, it's just a brick wall. It's what looks like the green room that you stepped in, but it's old and it's tattered. There is no door leading out from it, but it is there still.
I take a minute, pace in front of it, try and get as much information as I can out, put my ear against it, see if I can hear another audience or something.
It's nothing. It's dead. There's no noise.
I'm looking up into the, like, the void, the darkness, the mildew. What am I supposed to do? What's on the other side of this door? I'm supposed to just, this isn't right for me. I'm supposed to share the stage, give Charlie my seat. What is happening? You are capable and deserving of love. You are capable and deserving of love. No, you're not. You just know what to say and who to say it to. And they just want something from you. That's not love. Mom and dad, that's, they're just looking out for you. You did not peek at the age of 7 on fucking Nat and Kat's average life.
You are capable and deserving of love. And I will slowly turn that knob and push the door open.
The sound of noise hits you again. It's another crowd setting. Different this time, though. It is a theater, you think? It's a green room, definitely. There's walls that are heavily signed with so many autographs in Sharpie. You, as your eyes flick around the room, it is 10 years past the date that you stepped foot inside of the studio. You look and your eye catches yourself in a mirror. Your face betrays how young you should be. Mid-30s? You look far older.
Who the fuck are you?
Your hand brushes against a small pamphlet. It is a reunion special. It is just wrapped, as you can kind of gather from the noise of people. Someone opens the door into the room. Hi, Devin. Sorry, we have, it's just, you know, we need you just to, because people want some signings, and they brought some things, so yeah, just when you're ready. She seems skittish.
Oh, sure.
At you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll look back at the mirror. I'll be right out.
She closes the door.
I take a moment to gather my surroundings. Try and decide how I'm going to go into this. Realize that's futile. And just push through the door.
You are met in the hall pretty quick by Vic. The show was a huge success. It blew up. It ended when it should have. It is so, like, cult beloved. It's not by any means the biggest thing you've made, but it is the first real thing you made. It's been 10 years. I'd say about 6 or 7 since it closed. What do you look like?
Vic has, their face is slightly more lined. You can tell that they probably use very fancy skin cream to make sure that they look really good. They smell exquisitely expensive. They have a shaved head. Their makeup is just as kind of low-key as it used to be, but everything about them just appears pricier. They're wearing combat boots, but they have, you know, the double F symbol of, like, Fendi. They have very low-key name brands that are kind of matching on them. Something that's very unassuming that you wouldn't necessarily know at first glance would be designer. And it almost just looks like a glow-up. Like, this person has been exactly the same person all this time, but their shoulders are a little bit, you know, squarer. Their back is a little bit straighter. Their chin is held a little bit higher. And they kind of look down their nose at you. What are you doing, man? Always with Vic? You. Always bringing up the rear. How many years has it been?
Vic, I'm sorry.
For what?
And I... Very quick smile flashes I don't even know what I'm apologizing for. I'm late again.
It's cool. I kind of baked it into the timeline, if you know what I mean. And they wink at you. They kind of take this small case out of their inner breast pocket and put on these very kind of sleek, sharp-edged glasses. And that's like kind of the first sign of age that you can see on them. They sort of kind of like peer at you through them. Oh, you, I got a good guy I can recommend to you if you want to take a couple years off. I mean, you wear it well. I'm not trying to shit talk you, man. I'm just saying.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, how many years has it been?
Since the last time we talked? Maybe check in, yeah. You know. You feeling okay?
Just a little hungry, you know.
Oh, let me tell you, the snacks are so much better than what we used to have. Oh, come here, let me show you. Gone are the days of the vending machine.
The pair of you walk down the hallway. You get some of the hors d'oeuvres that are waiting for you, but then are rushed along by just someone who's managing the building.
How swanky are we talking here? Like crowd size and venue? Like, this can't be, like, up. And I motion, like, big.
It's the anniversary. I mean, you know, it's important. People are pretty excited. It's about, I don't know, maybe 4,000-5,000 people.
1,000?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing too overwhelming. Not like 10K in an arena or something.
No. Yeah, and they're here to see River, Charlie, you and me?
Yeah. Iflin's made a big difference to people, man.
Vic, you would know that River isn't there. She doesn't make appearances anymore. They bowed out gracefully. Just toward the end, it's kind of why the show began to wrap. We struggled to find someone to fit in. DMC took over for a bit, and then the show kind of was like, okay, let's go out on our own terms.
Vic holds that information until, like, they meet up with Charlie.
Would I be able to put that together based on context? I'm willing to roll.
You know, I don't think it constitutes. Actually, rolling is
what
fun.
What do those and posters look like? What do the posters look like, Robin?
Yeah, what are the posters look like?
I think we all know the posters are like the logo really big. And like silhouettes,
yeah,
or something. Something
it's,
really
it's
obscure.
Like, it's oof. You got like a character artist to draw all of the characters in the show. There's no names mentioned. It's like Our Iflin Life is like big on it, but it's more of a character piece than it is people who are going to be turning up. Give me a brains. Let's say 4. No.
You do get an adversity token.
You get an adversity token, ooh, though. Oh my god, mechanics. We're playing a game.
We're doing it.
You don't really piece it together, but stood, and as you think of it, there are flashes of a life lived. Not just, you know, stepping through these halls. Like, that is so fuzzy. That feels like a dream. But these past 10 years, you remember recording the last episode, like you're remembering events. It's all very hazy, though. It feels like this fog has almost seeped into your bones and it is now just everything of you. It's such a haze. Vic and DMC, you walk in to this big, not a hall, but it's a almost like a merch stall, and there are like crowds of people were like waiting for you. They have lines that they've designated for each of you. Charlie, you're already sat.
When they walk in, can I actually be hovering over the sound guy who is actually doing sound for this? And can I just be like, no, you need to turn Vic's up and you need to turn DMC's down. You don't want to miss what Vic is saying. And DMC sometimes gets excited and shouts. You got to balance them a little bit better. And also,
you should listen to Charlie, to the sound tech as we come up. They know exactly what they're talking about.
Oh, here, you made it. Good, good.
Look who I found,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, good. Also, I'm concerned about the MP3 title that I see on your screen there. That's like 3 theme songs ago. I think somebody gave you the wrong stuff. So just hang on. Keep your phone on. I'll get it to you in a second.
You know I'm paying someone to do this, right?
Well, you know, you're paying someone to do it, but it's like, It's our thing. So,
What does Charlie look like 10 years down the line?
Still goth in a way that has become a little awkward. Like, oh. Still is, dressed in a little bit of a loud, like, statement kind of gothic way. Loud chokers and things. A little bit more piercings, a little bit more tattoos. I would like, Robin, is it too overstepping for me to ask Never. DMC to make a brains roll?
Please do. Go for it. What is the number that we're trying to hit here?
Okay. Like a brains roll at a DC of 6.
DC of 6. 6.
There are pins all over Charlie's, like, outfit. Charlie has some new tattoos from when you last saw her. There is, as Robin said, like, as you're seeing things and people, like, memories are coming back to you, and you know that this is a reunion. Charlie has been working on big shows, like doing sound design for stuff that is way popular, and making big money, getting, like, adaptations kind of money. Every pin, every tattoo is about Iflin.
With that context and, you know, the shade of memories, DMC is going to do something that normal, real life DMC probably wouldn't have initially thought to do. Honestly, like, this is just as much your show as it is theirs. Motioning to the sound tech. Whatever you need to make happen, please make it happen. If you need me, you have my number. Just, I'll be paying attention to it. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go.
Dude. And Charlie, like, sort of, like, kicks out your chair. That's, like, real sweet of you and all, but, and she, like, kind of nods to the nameplate at your spot on this panel that says DMC host. That's your show. And she, like, takes a seat.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. River's not coming.
What?
Yeah, she's got a lot going on. Lots of things happening. Doesn't really do, you know, smaller events like this. So it's you. It's you. I mean, that's, you know, this is...
Oh.
This is all about you, man, so.
Oh, sure. Do they know?
Who, Charlie?
No. Pointing towards, like, the direction of the most noise, crowd noise.
Oh, the crowd. You know, I'm not sure. But they will soon, won't they? So, big smile. And do your best. They'll love you, right? They always do. Yep, I'm gonna go get some snacks to make sure we're good on stage. Champagne, cocktail, anything? You guys want anything?
Yes, please.
All right, cool. Old fashioned? Yeah.
No, I'm good. The facial expression on DMC can only read new fear unlocked. And I'll he'll catatonically like start making his way towards the stage to accept his fate.
As DMC walks, someone goes, "Oh, Devin Michael Kors. Oh my god.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. Oh my god, this is bad. Hi, I'm so sorry. I'm Rebecca. Hi. I've been a huge fan since, you know, like, you know, you came on like that time. Oh my god, I love it. I love you know, the whole thing. It's so exciting to see everyone. Actually, I have how are you? How are you?
I'm doing really good. I just breathe, you know? Just
I can't imagine I wouldn't be able to do this at all. Yeah.
What do you
she pulls out like a little like crocheted like plushie. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I know this is weird. I shouldn't really be back here. Would you mind giving this to River? I know it's bad. And I just don't think she's here. There was like some rumors or like they haven't seen him. So, I just wanted to like make sure that, you know, everyone, I think I got ones for others as well. For everyone else.
I'll take the plushie. Look at it. Big wide grin across my face. No, she's here. Yeah. I'll make sure this makes it to her.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. Oh my god. I won't say. I was hoping, of course. That's so fun. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I got the like backstage thing, so then I'll be at like signing stuff. I have things later. That's so exciting.
Great.
Okay.
Make sure you tag River.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye. 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 Bye.
I'm gonna hold on to it, and at the table, I'm gonna put it on the table and make a little makeshift card that says River with the plushie behind it, and just sit there and wait until the show starts. I'll do some signings. I'll do whatever. But like, if this is what hard work and like straight up, like in DMC's head, generosity will get him is, and then why try, you know, why try and be nice?
The air once again grows stale as you wait. As you wait for the show to start, as people start coming in and, you know, seeing everyone sat there, there is this hum behind you, and as you turn, you see the door with the fraying wallpaper. People seem to just be not passing through it, but just walking around it, not paying it any heed.
I hover for a little bit, and as people are stopping by, and or as people come by, if they like see me, say hi to me, I'll wave or like interact with them for a little bit. But I pull out whatever iteration of messaging device is relevant 10 years in the future from now, and start drafting a message. Hey, listen. I'm here for the long haul. As much as you need, or as little as you need. I think, honestly, oil has got some legs. I'd like to be a part of it. But if you really, really truly don't need DMC in the picture, please let me know. And I will save that as a draft to River before I walk through the door.
The noise once again leaves. That sound of the Hall of Fame lights humming comes back. The door closes. The light underneath that door turns off. There are three doors continuing along this hallway. It's not the underneath that lights up, though. Each one has a window. A small, just more look into that time rather than you being able to walk through it. And at the end of the hall, there is a door that is on the floor, lying flat.
I want to look into the first one. What do I see?
Do you think that DMC ever fell in love and got married?
I don't think married. I think he's had to do way too much growing to get married at a certain point, like to get married mm-hmm. at a typical, let's say typical age. I think he's doing mm-hmm. like, he's pulling a Keanu and he and his girlfriend are like, he and his partner are, you know, aging well together.
It's 5-6 years later. Those grays are showing pretty heavy now, and it's you and this person who you can't really tell the expression of or features of, but you see them and it seems all right. Mm-hmm. The next window you walk to. This is an additional 5-odd years later.
Okay.
And you can feel this as you're walking. Every step you get slightly slower. Your body, you can see it. It's the wrinkles are on your hand. You can feel the like age in your bones as you take steps forward. Do you speak to any of the cast? You speak to anyone? Keep in contact with River or Vic or Charlie?
I think Vic is the most I keep in contact with, but I know it's mostly like in DMC's head, in my head as DMC. It feels closer to a professional courtesy than it is an actual friendship. Every now and again, DMC will try and reach out to Charlie, and
when you reach out to Charlie, she always assumes it's an emergency. And is like immediately sat. Not in the friendliest way, but in a, we've been through it kind of way.
Yeah. At this point, it's more for the acknowledgement than it is any sort of like relationship or bonding experience. Mm-hmm. It's just to be acknowledged, even if that acknowledgement is tinged with a bit of disdain.
Mm-hmm. You see through the window yourself, 45 years old now, sending a text, what you can imagine as a text, mm-hmm. putting your phone down, and kind of gather the impression that time moves in hours, and checking your phone and putting it back down as kind of wait for that response to happen. You go over to the next window. An additional 10 years pass.
I don't want to know what happens after that second door. I know how long it's been. I can feel how long it's been. but I make the conscious effort to turn my gaze away from what that door looks like.
And you do. Don't see what it is. You continue to get older as you walk toward this door that's on the ground. Again, you to open it almost like a trap door. But there is a light that shines from where the floor should be. You look back down the hall. This is the last door. There is truly nothing else here. The hall is twisted like a spiral going down. Doors are on the ceiling, on the ground, side to side. And there is this door.
I'm going to sit down next to it and reflect for as long as it takes.
It's more difficult getting down than you're used to.
Yeah.
What is it that this feeling is? What is this moment for Devin Michael Chorus? It's weird. Surely it cannot be longer than an hour, hour and a half, yeah. Maybe. But then again, it has been 50 years. You feel that. You know it. You have these hazed memories of a life lived, and you are sat on the ground next to a door. What is that?
Devin Michael Chorus, DMC. As far back as I can remember, that didn't mean anything unless it was on a screen, in the credits, on a playbill, set over the radio station. The growing realization and the growing emotion here is that whatever DMC, whatever that means, is just as much as is put out into the world as the person receives. You are capable of love. And therefore deserving of it. This is going to be big. And I cannot let DMC, I can't let ego get in the way of it. If that light is hellfire, I just hope that it's deserved. That, and I look back at all the doors, that version was a real asshole. Okay. I really hope that this is either the end or takes me back to the radio station. Whoever is up to this, I don't think I can take much more. I'm old now. And I'll open the door.
It's another green room. But it's one that you recognize. It's not the one at the radio station, but it is one at the university's radio station. It's where it should be in relation to the door, but for you, you need to jump into whatever this is.
I'm going to do my best to minimize the amount of damage that this is going to do. And I don't care, because I'm old now, how ridiculous that makes me look.
As you put one foot in front of the other, the green room stretches, almost refusing you to land. You fall, and as you fall, you continue to get older. You continue to age, and your skin sags from you, and the door that you opened, as it slams shut, it catches just a small nip on your wrist, just part of your wrinkled skin, and you begin to unravel like a blanket. It begins tearing this wrinkled skin from your arm, and it starts pulling from your chest and your face as you age, and you all of a sudden land. You find yourself steady-footed in the green room of the university. These hazed memories kind of hit back at you. Work dried up. There was nothing. You did the con circuit a couple times, but there was just no need. And no money coming into it. There was just no point. And you get a job after you kind of did some nothing job that didn't mean anything, just to pay rent. And you get a text one day from the dean of the university. They were your classmate in the same year. They text you saying that they need a manager for the radio station. And if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to manage the university's radio station, I mean, it's nice now. It's busy. Not like it used to be when it was just you and some pizza boxes. It's like people now turn up to it.
There was a lot of deliberation there. Lots of back and forth of like, what are the expectations? Why specifically DMC? And I think ultimately it is a reluctant yes.
It is your not first day by any means. It's time has kind of lost all meaning now. Mm-hmm. You catch yourself in the mirror in this green room and you are nothing. Your skin has truly peeled off. It trails as a ribbon to the door. You look and you see, I don't know, not you. Someone who's just lived a life of constant put-downs. Nothing you do ever makes any impact. You are always last pick. You are always consistently plus one. Never invited. In your hand, you find an envelope. And you know that you're going to the hallway to stick a new bulletin onto the board.
Yeah. I'm going to open up that envelope. Look at the bulletin.
This is a task that you do every few months. It is something that the university is so proud of, and especially the radio station. It was a show that was recorded, God, what, 40 years ago at this point? And there are pictures and clippings everywhere, all over the board, but of the people who were in this little show. Victoria's new huge hit. Charlie is really like hitting bass with doing sound design. Like won an award for like sound design, won loads. River doesn't work anymore, but she, you know, has individual wins, still gets huge amount of royalties and donates. There are also little clips of guests, people who you add on who went off to do huge things. It's a bulletin that you have to stick it up.
as you're describing all of this and like all of this is being shown on the bullets and everything, the grip on the paper gets tighter and tighter, and there's no way it's not going to have wrinkles when it gets posted up. You know how when you walk into a radio station, there's always some sort of like either the live show, the live outgoing is playing right now. It is one of the first recordings from when our If Then Life got picked up. And I cannot for the life of me recognize River. There's a side character that we know for sure is Charlie going on. There's another voice.
Hello,
that just sounds so alien.
What's your name? Hi.
Night.
You told me I wasn't supposed to have a name coming in. It's just
kind
of adds to the whole fantasy of it.
Hesitate with the bulletin.
Well, I can come up with a name with another
ploy. And I rip it in half. I don't walk towards the green room.
Hello, out there.
I don't
my name
stick
is,
around
Paytor.
To see
I found him.
If anyone noticed. I walk out.
As you walk, you clock. A picture hangs above the door. It is of what should be today the first recording in this new studio. It is of River, Charlie, and Vic. And you do find it weird because you were there, but why aren't you in it? Somebody has to take the picture. A door opens behind you. That smell of stale air.
Yeah, I get it. And I don't fight it. I have no thoughts to ponder over, no realizations, no enlightenment to share with this. Whatever is happening here, I just accept. What this is. And I walk through.
Your foot lands on fairly plush carpet. Your hands feel cold metal. You're holding a chair in your hand as you step through into the green room. You are in the radio station. No time has passed, but you remember all of it. You can hear the rest of the cast behind you. You feel like it has been not hours, but actual decades since you've been here. There is a small piece of metal, and even though your face is obscured and lengthened, you can normally tell that it's you, but looking in, you still see this old, defeated man.
Dude,
I really
not
feel like
alone.
We should be staying
it's
back.
Not safe, man. Yeah. It's not fucking safe.
Like not alone is like rule one.
So, step in. I hear all of this. Aged so much. Chair. And look at it as I slowly lower it. Feels so heavy, but also all of this feels trivial. And I look into the, I take in my surroundings once again, as I have for the last 8 decades. Put the chair down, prop it up against the wall, and I let myself feel the wall as my hand brushes and finds, I guess, a light switch. Trying to figure out if if this is real, I click it on and off.
Those cheap fluorescent lights that always give that pretty harsh hum do flick on, and then you hear the ding ding as they flick off, then boom 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 as they flick back on again.
I do it one more time.
Dude, you good?
I thought the lights were totally out.
They were.
Remind me what you all just saw.
I mean, you walked into that room with a metal chair.
No. Before that?
The door was open.
Yeah, the door that we've locked like a bajillion times got open.
And then all the doors slammed closed.
And then this one creaked open and you just went for it. What the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah, like, what if there's an intruder in here? In fact, like, get back. Like, no, seriously.
No, it's okay. See, and I'll flick it off and on again. It's just probably something with the power that...
I mean, I would be really inclined to believe that if it wasn't for the fact that the door had opened like 5 times and also somebody moved the chair and then it slammed closed in my face. Listen, and all the doors slammed closed.
I honestly feel like there are more important things to worry about than just some weird, creaky old radio station, you know?
Vic strides up to you and like grabs your face with their hand. Like your chin is like in between their thumb and their index finger. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Do you understand? We are in here. It is creepy. You were gone. We were worried. Now is not the time for your trademark DMC levity, okay?
Wait. I was gone?
I mean, you went in that room. We followed you in. It was creepy. If I suddenly walked into a room of a door that just magically opened by itself and all the lights went out and they were playing our fucking show across the loudspeaker and no one's answering any of my fucking text messages, you wouldn't be freaked out?
Okay, yes, that's weird, right? I just...
No,
Yeah.
It's stunning. It's weird. Okay, it's weird as fuck.
Okay, okay, then we figure this out together. No, I just had to know, okay? Green room is clear. No one's in there. I think something is definitely going on here. And there's a bit of like a little bit of glassiness in his eyes as he says that. But I think if we're together, we'll be okay. Okay?
Yeah, dude, we need to stay together. Okay? We can't do this without you. We've got to. We've got to stick together.
I honestly, we can do this. If I wasn't here, if it was someone else, we'd be okay.
Yeah.
Anything else weird that might have noticed? Maybe.
You're kind of acting a little weird. Are you good?
Yeah.
Maybe you should sit down, dude. You look a little pale.
Maybe some water. Too much teed up.
Do you know, like, in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, in like the very beginning.
Not with your horror shit, Charlie. Like, come on.
It's just that, you know, that girl in the beginning is like, they pick her up and she's in the back and they're like, oh, everything's fine. And she's like, no, everything's not. And she's all glassy eyed and weird.
Yeah.
And then it's just DMC. Look, like you, there's something weird going on here and you have like a weird, that kind of vibe happening here.
Did you see something?
Yeah. That's what I'm curious about.
In the green room? Was there something in the green room that we didn't see? She like steps around him to try and get a look in there and see, like looking over his shoulder even as she's asking.
You feel a tug on the back of your shirt, River.
I'm not gonna go in there. I just wanted to look and see.
What did I just say?
I'm still here.
Right.
Okay. Sorry for being weird. This is all just really, really, really scary. And okay, let's all go into the green room together. I'm not trying to take over. I'm just suggesting something that is something we do because we cannot stay the same. We cannot remain here scared.
Yeah, dude, you need to sit down.
What is going on?
Does anybody remember where the breakers are? I feel like maybe we can find them and flip them and see if we can get something working.
They're in the sound room. We've got water and we've got snacks. We've got pretzels and shit in the break room.
I didn't get chainsaw massacred, if that's what you're worried about. I will drink some water.
Yes.
And we can go check.
I can work on getting the power on.
No. We're not splitting up.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also do, I mean, somebody moved the chairs. Somebody unlocked the door. Somebody slammed that door. Vic, is your phone working now that the lights are back?
I check my phone.
It's full signal, but it was before as well. You struggle to load any website, even though you have 5G in this area.
No, it's fucking dunzo, man. I don't get it. No one's replying to my text messages. They're sending. It says delivered.
DMC, is there like something else that's going on? Because you're acting really strangely, and a lot of weird things have happened, and it's just a little weird that you rush forward and are turning around and saying all this stuff to us, and it feels like you're trying to say something else, and I'm honestly feeling kind of uncomfortable right now.
It's with everything going on and I just
did you move the chairs?
No, I didn't move the chairs. I wish I did.
You wouldn't do that, guys.
Come answer on. Your question. Things are weird. Things are weird. But you're not gonna believe me when I tell you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. That makes me feel even worse.
Is this like a thing that people do on is it like a prank, like a first day in the new studio kind of prank where you're trying to freak us out and stuff? Because like, to be honest, I don't know you well enough for you to do a prank like that on me. And like, I love the spirit. The energy is
Charlie. He's professional.
A nice idea, but
he's a professional. You wouldn't do that, right? I mean, you're not going to put egg on my face. I told these guys you were cool.
I know that's mean, but it would be so much better if it was, because it was so many years, y'all. I went to go check the green room. I opened the door and there were all these other doors. There was this panel and then there was a show and you were there and you're so mean. And I realized that's because I was mean. You're looking at me like I'm, this is why. Okay.
Let's go to the green. Let's go back. Let's go to the break room. If we can get the fucking door open, let's sit down and have
just take a minute.
Water and maybe some Doritos.
Yeah. Exactly. Your blood sugar's tossed.
As you walk into the recording booth and you see the closet, you remember that when all the lights started going mad and there was a door that was getting banged on really fast and loud, this is that door.
there something behind the door? Even though he's, like, already denied it, she's, like, turning around and looking at DMC, almost asking him, and then, like, flicks her gaze away to Charlie and Vic to kind of try and disperse the implication in that, but then turns around back to the door and maybe steps back a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know. That's not me. Believe me,
clearly
I wish...
Clearly it's not you.
I wish... I can't.
Who the fuck is in here? We're not kidding around.
No.
Maybe it's the property manager.
No. Don't. Please. I'm so sorry. If you don't need me here, I can. I'm okay. You have such a great show already.
Stay put.
Dude, what are you talking about? The show. Let's get out of here.
Let's go. Spiraling, and we all just need to take a deep breath for a second. Okay, if this is a prank, the entire point is to turn off all the energy, all the lights in the house, so that we can go and go into the break room and get scared by whoever is in there. So, next logical step, let's go flip the breakers and fix this.
No. You can't. You're gonna learn some things about you that you're not gonna like.
DMC, I am. Hey, I'm being so serious right now. I need you to shut up. I need you to stop talking to me because you are fucking sending me down a spiral. Okay.
No, I know. Butternut
squash. You're freaking me out.
That's the code word for our for the improv. This is serious. Scene done. Nothing is happening. I didn't do anything here. This is weird and creepy. Please don't answer that door, River.
Hey.
Please don't open it.
I listen to him. Okay, River. Really, that's the safe word. Don't go over there, Charlie. Can we all just sit down? Can we just take a beat? Can we just take a minute and think about this, please? I feel like all of us are trying to make sense of something that doesn't make any fucking sense right now, and that's okay, but we need to just take a fucking moment.
It's someone knocking on the inside of a door. Why don't I just go in there and... We have two options from my standpoint. We leave out that door... and we get out of here and we call the cops, or we go in that door and I punch who's ever in there in the fucking face.
And if we sit down, they're probably gonna like jump out or something anyway. You know, why prolong it?
Yeah. I don't wanna sit here and be scared all night long. I just want to get to work on our show that we came here to do. So honestly, and we need lights and electricity to do that. And I really want to hit someone anyway.
DMC, I get that you're freaked out. I think maybe this is just jitters. I think the best solution here is maybe to just cut to the end.
DMC, you feel a squeeze, like a hand on your shoulder. And Vic is beside you and standing kind of shoulder to shoulder almost.
DMC squeezes back Vic and then looks at River. Deflates. Yeah. Just skip to the end. That's the best we can hope for, I think.
Charlie takes a microphone out of a stand, grips it in her hand, and then, like, wraps the cord around her fist a bunch of times, and is like, Vic, please have, like, the cops on standby in case this is... manager, and she's gonna open the door.
She tries. The door is fully locked. You, being as close as you are, you can hear static on the other end, like something like someone trying to tune a radio. That's but as you do try, you hear behind you something unlock.
Huh?
In the hallway. The door to the security office opens slightly.
Hang on. She sort of walks past everyone and is like,
No.
Keep an eye on that. Something's.
I'll follow behind you, Charlie. Vic,
yeah.
Devin, if you want to watch the door. Just don't go alone.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel good, guys.
Oh, actually, this is good. River, this is good. Cameras. If someone is in here, we can see in the cameras.
Well, if the cameras have power, yeah.
Well, I'm hearing signs of power. I'm hearing static and some lights are working, so,
Could be a generator.
I mean,
yeah.
Something. But still, I don't know. Let's just see.
Okay. I'm here with you.
Thank God.
Thank you so much for listening to Frequencies. This show was created by Patchwork Productions and features the voice and creative talents of Candace McAfee, a.k.a. Candace Magnificent, Sloan, a.k.a. Art Plebe, Christian, a.k.a. Kappa, Dylan Apellian, a.k.a. Super Dylan, and Robin Ekberg, a.k.a. Captain Crail. This episode of Frequencies was edited and sound designed by Dylan Apellian. Thank you to everyone who makes this show possible by subscribing to our Patreon, with an extra special thank you to Callum, Meadow, Parker Lang, and Rodrigo.